Okay, relax, Doc. It's me. It's Martin.
Oh, it can't be. Just sent you back to the future.
Yeah. Oh, I know you did send me back to the future, but I'm back. I'm back from the future.
Now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the one in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
Alright. Oh, that was big gulp of beer. Welcome to episode 106 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going? Oh, you're too kind. Thank you so much for downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you check this out on iTunes and you like what you hear, help us out. Leave a little review on the iTunes and the iTunes store. That helps us out a lot. It really does. Rate the show. That'd be pretty great. Grade it. Entertain it. The idea, that is, of helping us out with a review and rating on iTunes.
The hell was that?
I brought it back around. I tried to bring it back around, and I did so. That's Juice of Cogburn. How's it going,
Drew? It's going. We're pretending like we did this before, right?
We've done this a couple of times. Remember,
we're pretending, right? We're pretending.
We're definitely pretending. This is all pretend for sure.
Good.
Remember, Drew, when we first started?
Vaguely.
Episode one.
I mean, if you're asking about specifics, no,
not specifics.
I got nothing on specifics.
Do you remember the nerves? The first time we cracked the mic, first time I said, "Here we go, welcome to the show, introduce you."
Yeah. I remember that. Those nerves have since subsided.
Right.
I don't think I'm necessarily any better at my job.
Oh, I'm definitely.
I'm definitely not as nervous about being so shitty.
Right. It's like now are you a little more used to the sound of your own voice?
Yes.
Right.
I still hate it, but I'm used to it.
2 years later.
Yeah. I still hate it.
2 years later.
It still hurts the ers.
The ers. Ermigerd hurts the ers. Well, we're here. Despite our worst intentions, we're here. Episode 106. We got a, you know what? We got a lot to do. We got a lot to talk about.
We got
Billy D, Death in the Movies.
Yes.
Plus a bonus, surprise bonus.
Surprise bonus.
We got questions and a whole bunch of mini movie reviews. That's mm-hmm. That's tough to say really fast.
Mini movie review.
When we've had some delicious Brooklyn local too. Mini movie review. Manageable vegetable.
Irish wristwatch.
There's new movies on DVD coming out. New movies in theaters this week. We got. Did you get to see any? I know you've had a busy weekend. Did you get to see any movies?
Nope.
I saw a couple movies in the theaters that we got to talk about during the box office recap. Kind of a crazy box office weekend, actually. Looking forward to talking about that. Netflix pick of the week is coming up. Before we do any of that, we got to say happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to Kevin Costner. It's his 60th birthday.
Really?
Yes. Kevin Costner is 60 today, January 18th. Congratulations. Only person worth noting, it's his birthday today. Only person in the world. That's it. Seriously, Kevin Costner, that is it. It's fascinating.
Nobody else.
Not a single person else. It's Kevin Costner's day, so...
Are you sure there's nobody else?
No one else. Thank you, Kevin Costner. Worth noting, no. So thank you, Kevin Costner, for Dancing with Wolves. I put Goodfellas in its place. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
I mean,
that's it. No, so
he was just in. He was just, man. He's an old ass man to be in that. What is it? 3 Days to Kill or something?
3 Days to Kill. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on the show. Absolutely, because it's Kevin Costner Day. Yeah, absolutely. He is kind of an old guy, but then again, these days it's all about old man action movies.
He's no Liam Neeson's.
Is he even a Sean Penn's?
No.
Because Sean Penn's got his first action movie coming out soon.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Old Man Sean Penn?
Old Man Sean Penn doing his first action movie.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Sweet.
So yes, happy birthday, Kevin Costner. Also, real quick before we really do start the show in earnest, had a problem with the iTunes app and the iTunes store in the last week and a half.
The iTunes.
Our last three previous episodes, going back to the Dr. Drew we did last week,
mm-hmm.
where in which we answered a whole bunch of questions,
correct,
from listeners and other podcasters and radio personalities and stuff around mm-hmm. town, right? All aimed for Drew. Drew answered them all. It was awesome. The doctor was in.
And now the doctor's out.
Now the doctor's out. You missed your opportunity. Maybe we'll do it again in the future.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. You know, it was a fun time. We had a good time. But that wasn't on the iTunes or the iTunes app mm-hmm. right away. And then we did episode 105 last weekend, and that was available on the Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It was available on ChrisCrespo.com.
ChrisCrespo.com.
If you had already subscribed to the show on iTunes and you had the feed there, you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're using your iPhone or iPad and you're using the iTunes app, it wasn't updating.
Okay.
There wasn't, the Dr. Drew's wasn't there, 105 wasn't there. When I did the Crespo Disco on Wednesday, the metal one didn't pop up.
Okay.
So we had officially.
So what happened?
A problem. Apparently, I had it set to the settings, my iTunes feed settings or whatever that I use for my plugin. I had it set to pretty much like infinite. As many episodes as I had put out there, I wanted them to be available via iTunes,
yes,
the iTunes store, all for free.
Yes.
That's the kind of guy I am, mm-hmm. right? It got to a point where having all this stuff on the server, apparently it was causing slightly slow enough server times that iTunes was like, we're not picking up what you're throwing down.
Okay.
I had to reduce that.
Uh-huh.
I reduced it back to its default setting,
which is
10. So if people look it up on the iTunes app, you can only see the last 10 episodes. That I wouldn't. It's only through the iTunes app. Everything else is like, okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it would be a problem to not have the stuff there, except for the fact that maybe half of our audience uses the iTunes app.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are fucking stubborn, you motherfuckers. Learn to use other things, guys. Migrate. I know you're listening now because the show's available on iTunes app. You're listening.
They love their iTunes.
When I finally got it fixed on like that Thursday, we had such a spike in downloads because people were just had to binge on the last three. Which is nice to know that, you know, they're waiting for them.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, guys. Thank you. But it was the whole time, all those episodes were available on Stitcher. Extremely easy to use. So easy. ChrisCrespo.com. If you go to the website and you click on the link, there's a little player. The player's right there. You just got to hit play. You just got to hit play, Jeremy.
Play.
It's so simple.
Just play.
But people are creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask you what you use to listen to podcasts, but
you know the answer.
You don't listen to podcasts.
Exactly.
You don't even bother downloading our show.
No.
It's like
I'm on one. Have been on for 2 years. I help out with another.
You do, yes.
on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like voting for yourself. You can do all the campaigning and hand out all the buttons, but when it comes time to vote, you gotta be like, I did all that other work. You don't gotta listen to the show. I'm just saying we need some downloads.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway, so I got that fixed. Thank you guys for helping me out. Shout outs to Joey and Jared for helping me out. Because they both were like, hey guys, this shit's not working, man. I was like, oh well, let's check this out and make it happen so we can all be on the same page. So you guys are awesome. We appreciate it. Anyway. Like I said, we got a show to get to. You want to get the show started?
I mean, if you want to.
Let's get the show started. Let's see what we got going on over here. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. All right. Well, it's Netflix instant pick of the week time. You can check out all the Netflix instant pick of the weeks at chriscrespo.com. Juicy Cogburn's working Crespo Disco Randomizer 9000 because that's the kind of guy he is, helping out with all the podcasting goodness. We appreciate it, Drewster.
All right, Chris.
Happy birthday to you recently. I know you had a birthday. We're talking about Kevin Costner's birthday today. A better birthday for the month of January. Drewster Cogburn's birthday. That was pretty recent. If you want to send him your gifts, go ahead and email us. We'll let you know where you can give you a safe email mailing address.
And happy birthday to you, Chris, too.
What are you talking about? I know
somewhere around this area of time, it's also your birthday.
I guess so, maybe.
If it's been my That's birthday, possible. Then that means yours is close.
I guess so.
That's just the way it works.
It's maybe.
I know. Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Tis the season for our birthdays. Exactly when they are.
I'm just saying happy birthday.
Only some people know.
Just saying happy birthday, Kevin Costner. Happy birthday, Kevin Costner.
True that. So this movie's from 1999, Chris.
1999! It is!
An action-adventure comedy.
sci-fi.
Okay. Sci-fi action adventure comedy from 1999.
Tim Allen.
With Galaxy Quest.
There you go.
All right. Hey. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty great one, actually. Let me write that down. You know what? I'm even going to break out. And Drew can verify right here. I'm breaking out the space pen.
Yep, space pen is coming out for Galaxy Quest.
I got the astronaut pen that writes upside down. That's the same one the astronauts use. They talk about it in Seinfeld. Galaxy Quest. Excellent film. You like it, Drew? Do you like this movie?
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun, right? It's definitely fun.
It's
on
definitely...
On a base superficial level, it is at the very least
fun. I mean, fun. If you don't have... It's kind of a spoof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of.
It's like it gets a little meta about it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with, you know, sci-fi movies, the way they work, you know, the characters from them, you really won't get the movie. Because it's almost like a takeoff on Star Trek.
Yeah, sure.
But with Tim Allen.
Sure, yeah.
But Sigourney Weaver's in the movie, and she has her own sci-fi
connections.
Nonsense. Yeah, right,
yeah,
you know?
That implies certain things.
Exactly.
I like how she plays the buxom character.
Yeah, the dumb hot blonde. Totally normal. That's not her in sci-fi movies.
Yeah, push-up brawl crazy dyed hair. Yeah, absolutely. It is the opposite of Ripley.
Yeah.
Good point. Absolutely good point. Monk is in it.
Mm-hmm.
He falls
Tony Shalhoub.
Falls in love with an alien.
Alan Rickman's in it.
Alan Rickman is, yes. He's like a Shakespearean actor who's so downtrodden by the fact that his most popular character is a wharf-like dude, right?
Exactly.
With the makeup and everything. Sam Rockwell is in it.
Yes, he is.
With a crazy mustache. And he plays the guy who's like the take on the Star Trek idea of the red shirts, I think they were. If you were a crew member in a red shirt, that means you were expendable.
Yeah.
Right? Kirk wore the blue, Spock wore the blue, losers wore red.
Everyone else wore red.
And he was like guy number six in a random episode where they died. And then they were like, we want to use the plan from this episode. He's like, no, you can't use that one. That's the one that I died in. Oh, man. A lot of good memories with Galaxy Quest. That's a fun movie.
It is.
That's a good choice. And then, you know what? It has a pretty positive like reputation, you know, amongst like film geeks and
when
it comes up online, people talk about it like very, very lovingly. They enjoy it quite a bit, which is
it's not cool. Just you know, a sci-fi comedy. You know, there's something that it's saying underneath it all. It's smarter than that.
It does have like emotional beats to it. It's a full film. It's not
absolutely
for sure. All right, cool. Hey, I am happy with that one. I'm happy with all of them.
Thank the randomizer.
Thank the randomizer. Thank you, randomizer 9000. Where's my thing over here? Polite applause for the randomizer 9000. All right, here we go. Let's get into that box office recap for the weekend. Drew.
Chris.
We didn't talk about this ahead of time. When it comes to top five, did Black Hat even make the top five? I don't think it did.
No, no, it did not.
Well, let's start with Black Hat, because I saw it.
All right, well, Black Hat came in at number 10 this week. Had a weekend gross of $4 million. For a grand total of $4 million on a budget of 70, I guess. What did we call it?
70 francs, 70 euros, 70
300. Is it 300 Rise of the Hacker? Is that what this movie was?
No, CrossFit Hacker.
Yes, CrossFit Hacker.
Yeah, it could be 300 Rise of the Hacker, too. Yeah, because he's got abs.
He's Thor. Thor's not a hacker.
Thor also doesn't have an American accent, but he does. Where do I start with Black Hat? Okay, so Black Hat, I saw it. It's a hacker movie.
Black Hat Hacker Named Hathaway.
A Black Hat Hacker Named Hathaway, which isn't a line in the movie. It's not a line, not spoken. It's one of those things where, you know, part of the trailer, things happen in a trailer, don't happen the same way in the movie.
Yep.
Just because that's the nature of the way they make trailers. Ugh, so no. I wanted to hear that line. I was going to walk out during that part. But anyway. So, he's a super buff hacker guy, right? And he's all like, when you're in prison, you gotta work out the mind and the body. He's that type of guy, right? I don't know. That's the most they define him by. He's the most like unmemorable character. Every character in the movie is just a cipher. It's all like Ridley Scott. Not really Scott. Michael Mann, same. Sometimes they're almost the same guy. Have you seen Black Rain? That's like the same person. Ridley Scott was like, I said it again. Michael Mann's like, ooh, technology is scary, blah, blah, blah. hackers, they can get into your shit. He was inspired by Stuxnet, S-T-U-X,
and E.T. It was a malware program put into Iranian power plant facilities that, like, fucked up their code, fucked up their shit, and blurred it out. So it was like, there's an element of that in the movie. It's all about how, you know, manipulating the financial markets and stealing information and stuff. It felt like they were focusing on that so much that then they were just like, let's just throw some characters in here.
Yeah.
Because we need a story.
See what happens.
Per se. Yeah. So, yeah. And they didn't care about the characters. So why should we care about the characters? They don't.
Heard that.
You know, it's all about just the fucking hacker shit. Which is, it's all well made enough. It's technically, it's a good movie. The shootouts are good. It's like Heat, where, you know, the shootouts are fucking super loud and intense.
Yeah.
They feel kind of real, as opposed to, like, movie-ish, even though it's so is yes. pretty movie-ish. But it's, I don't know. It's for sure, like, a Redbox HBO kind of movie. I don't understand why they could have just made the Chris Hemsworth character Australian. Once they had Chris Hemsworth, once they had Thor, they could be like, let's just make the guy Australian. Why would we have to make him talk with an American accent?
Yeah, seriously.
Because this isn't, it's...
Right.
It's not terrible. But there was one or two lines where it was like, ooh, he struggled with that one on set. Yeah. They needed multiple
takes.
Take six. It's like, oh, boy. That's a lot of technical speak. Anyway, so, you know, it's a Michael. It's got its Michael Mann-isms, but it's not Michael Manny enough for me to be like, oh, yeah. It was diverting at best. On the Rotten Tomatoes, they give it a 32% rating. Out of 111 reviews, 32% of them are positive. It says thematically timely, but dramatically inert.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Black Hat strands Chris Hemsworth in a muddled misfire from director Michael Mann. So, and you know what? Also kind of telling here, the user audience score, 32% as well.
No, there we go. Nobody likes it.
No one likes it. Critics and audiences agree. Black Hat, unfortunately, not really worth your time. So, and apparently people knew it. How much did it make again? $4 million?
Four
for Thor. What's next?
Here we Coming go. In at number five this week, Selma made an additional $8.3 million for a total of $25.9 on a budget of $20.
A lot of Selma talk happening with the Oscar nominations. We'll get into that in the second half of the show.
Coming in at number four this week, Taken 3 had a weekend gross of $14 million, total of $62.8 on a budget of $48.
Not bad for the Liam Neesons and the Taken genre. That's definitely a front-loaded thing. Everyone that's going to see the Taken movie, for the most part,
has seen it.
They've seen it. Although, when I was at the theater, when was it?
The old man seeing wants to see the old Liam Neeson movie.
That was funny. That one. No. This is different. This is recent. That was funny though. When
we were, I want to see the new else. Liam Neeson.
He was like, but he said, I want the Liam Neeson on an airplane movie. And it was nonstop. Weren't we? I think we were going to see that too, weren't we?
Or was it The Gray?
Liam Neeson on an airplane. He is on an airplane. that old man would have been like, I want to see the Liam Neeson with the Wolves movie. That's the one who Liam Neeson punch wolves. No, I was just at the theater. The other for Black Hat, as a matter of fact, when I was in line. Right in front of me at the box office was a dude with his father, a grown man with his elderly father, mm-hmm. and I guess their mother. That's the dynamic, I'm assuming. And I remember, for some reason, I heard him order one adult, one senior for Taken 3,
mm-hmm.
and then one senior for Selma. It's like, oh, so they're all going to the movie together, but they're like, we're splitting up there.
Yep. Yeah, we don't want to see Selma.
The dudes are like, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to see it. Mm-hmm. The old white lady's like, I want to go see Selma. So she went and saw it by herself. So yeah, those are the type of people that are seeing Taken 3 in the second week. Next weekend, who knows who's going to be seeing Taken 3. It's going to be dropping out of the top five super fast. But it made its money. Liam Neeson's happy. He got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's moving on. That was my Taken 3 story.
So are we. So on to number three this week.
Thank you. That's what a good producer does.
Paddington.
Keeps things moving.
Had a weekend gross at $19.28 million, same as the total budget of Unlisted.
Now, Paddington, this is interesting. I had no interest in this whatsoever. Did you ever read? It's a book, right? The Paddington mm-hmm. series?
Yeah, it's children's stuff.
Did you read them when you were a kid?
I didn't read them, but I was exposed to them. I think it's
but it didn't catch on with
I think
you?
It's a British thing.
It is British. It is English.
That's why. Right? It's a British thing.
But you were into Tintin.
Tintin.
And that's Belgium?
Yeah, but it was also big in France.
Yeah, so French. Okay, still.
I took six years of French class.
But still, you're an American.
Yeah, but I took 6 years of French class, and I've always liked comic books.
We speak the same English.
So that means...
We speak the same English if I as
wanted,
English.
If I wanted to read a French comic book, it was either that or Asterisk.
Asterisk?
Ooh. Yeah.
The Adventures of an Actual... asterisk?
No, it's the adventures of a like a middle-aged Gaul soldier from Gaul, you know, ancient France. Him being, you know, he's got the wings on the hat and he's going around whooping ass, taking names, being funny.
So it was Tintin.
Tintin.
Or
asterisk.
Crazy.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pattinson. I didn't get into Pattinson at all, so I had no interest in this movie whatsoever.
No frame of reference.
No frame of reference at all, Donnie. But 98% on the Rotten Tomatoes. Well, fucking reviewed movie for sure. We're looking at 7.8 out of 10 is the average rating out of 108 reviews. Yeah. That's a pretty good sample size right there. Let's see what they say. Because I read one review on slashfilm.com. It was very intriguing. And that review was all about how it's just a simple movie. It's a simple story with very simple yet defined emotional stakes. And they set out to tell the story and they do it. A couple of extraneous action scenes.
Whatever.
But other than that, it's like a fucking pretty much a perfect movie for adults and kids. See what they say here in Rotten Tomatoes. Paddington brings a beloved children's character into the 21st century without sacrificing his essential charm, delivering a family-friendly adventure as irresistibly cuddly as its star. Well, he doesn't tell us much.
Just all right.
People really like it. Yep. So, that intrigues me.
It's a bear.
It intrigues me, though. 87% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a little more expected for movies like that, for movie scores. I don't know. It wasn't on my radar at all.
Now you kind of want to check it out.
Now, like on Redbox or HBO or something, I will see. Like, did they really? It's like the Babe movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Babe 2.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting those to be any good.
No.
And then, like, they came out and people were like, holy shit, this is really good. So, like,
Pig.
That'll do, Pig. Babe 2 is even. Babe 2, Big in the City.
Big in the City.
The scene where the pit bull is chasing Babe through the city, and then he gets caught over the bridge, and like he's drowning, and Babe comes and helps him. I was like, oh shit, this scene is intense, man. This is for kids. This is fucking George Miller. You're insane. Go back to making Mad Max movies, which he did do. Thank you, sir. All right, let's get into that. What were we at? What number are we at?
We're at number two now. Number two is The Wedding Ringer. Had a weekend gross of $21 million, same as total budget of 23.
How much did Pattinson make again?
19.3.
How much did Wedding Ringer make?
21.
God damn, that's a lot of money. And we're not even at the number one movie yet.
Correct.
That's a lot of money being thrown around at the box office at this time of year. January, not really a movie going time of year.
Oh, I mean, you want to talk about money being thrown around? Wait till we get to the number one
that's
movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We're going to get there. We're going to get to, like, holy shit, epic numbers for January movies here. It's a really a solid weekend when your number two movie. Let's make $21 million in January. Mm-hmm. Wedding Ringer, Kevin Hart continues to crush it. This guy.
Does he? Is he killing it with some.
Box office wise?
With a Motley Crue.
Box office wise, yeah. And this one, it's definitely. Well, I guess this Josh Gad fella, this goofy looking dude with the glasses.
Did you?
You can reach Antihero 419 at hotmail.com. Does that still exist if you want to complain about
it? Maybe it may exist. It may not. I don't know. I haven't checked it in a long time.
He doesn't check it. He doesn't give out his other email. You can tweet him.
Oh, you can tweet me all day, all of your hate. if you want to hate on Drew Chicago, hit me up on Twitter. I will accept and relish in all hatred.
Tweet
Thank
me
you.
All of your hate. That's awesome. Yeah, but this guy, he was the voice of the Snowman in Frozen, which is, you know, biggest fucking movie of last year, pretty much, right? And he's got a TV show coming out on FX with Billy Crystal called The Comedians. So he's in the process of blowing up.
Yeah.
And this is part of it, riding a little bit of Kevin Hart's coattails with this one, for sure. Let's see, I'm trying to pull up what they got here. Rotten Tomatoes. This is just a general consensus. This is a comedy. General consensus is redundant. Don't say that, people. I did that as an example, a grammatical example of what not to do. Mm-hmm. The consensus when it comes to comedies is usually, you know, what do you think is funny is different from why I think it's funny.
Well, yeah.
Just for this person. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to do a rating for a comedy. But still, that being said, Rotten Tomatoes, we're at 33% positive.
Wow.
Out of 58 reviews, kind of a smaller sample size. 4.7 out of 10 is the average score. Kevin Hart and Josh Gad might be two great comedians that go great together, but there's little evidence of it on display in The Wedding Ringer. Ooh.
There we go.
Ooh. So
it's a piece of crap.
Let's get on to that
number one movie this week, American Sniper. Weekend gross of $90 million. Total of 93.6, a budget of 58.8.
Okay, first off, R-rated movie, war drama about Iraq, Afghanistan, that type of war type shit, being released in January, middle of January. The reasonable expectations, the ceiling for that is like $45 million. Anyone looking at that from the outside, knowing box office history, mm-hmm. knowing how these type of movies usually play out, no one expected to make more than $50 million. $90 million is like... That's kind of like when Guardians of the Galaxy opened to $90 million in August.
And everyone was like, what?
Everyone except the people that went and saw it. Yeah. They were like,
of course, this movie's freaking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So American Sniper is one of those things where it's like, this is insane.
Well, apparently it had really good buzz. It's been out for a couple weeks.
The Oscar nominations came out the same week as this movie's wide release.
Yeah, that's probably why.
It was nominated for Best Picture, Best... actor, not best director, yeah. Best picture, best actor, and like four other awards. So
that's probably why people came out to see it.
That's part of the reason why. I think it, you know, part of it is also good marketing. It did have very, I mean, the trailers are very, were good. The marketing was good. When I saw it today, I saw this morning, Sunday, 11:15.
Packed.
Fucking packed. Like, we were seeing the Avengers opening night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. I was like, why are all these people around me? There's so many fucking... This is why I go to matinees and get away from the people.
Yeah.
I had these people over here to my right. I think it was like two like college-age kids and their dad talking throughout the whole movie. And it wouldn't be so offensive if they just weren't so fucking boring, Drew. It's like their comments, they were just repeating what was happening on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't even give me a joke or two. Nope. These guys suck. Let's go over here on my left. I thought we were having a problem with the cell phone. He was using his cell phone right at the very beginning of the movie. But then he put it away.
Good for him.
I was like, all right, thank God. I don't have to worry about
this. At least that way you didn't have to kill him.
I'm going to have to American Sniper you, bro.
No.
You know, with my we shouldn't joke about gunplay in a movie theater. That's.
Tweet me all your hate, Antihero419.
Tweet me your hate.
Any issues you got with what we say or do or whatever?
I actually like getting that because then at least I know people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
People paying attention. So I saw the American Sniper, packed theater. And you know what, man? The movie is a stone cold bummer.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's I don't want to say typical, but it is your war is hell.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the people involved in it type of movie.
That's what war does. It's true.
It's what it does. And then it just, I think this one just has the, what this has going for it is that it is based on a memoir co-written by a dude who actually went through this shit, you know, and now I want to read the book. I might have mentioned this on the show already. It may not have. 2015.
Yes,
is
you have.
I have. 2015 is a year where I'm going to read a lot of books that have been adapted to movies. So this has now hit my list of books to read, American Sniper. Because I want to see if he was really that open about his conflicted feelings. Because I've read other things online about how a lot of the stuff that he wrote, he's very, very straightforward in his, like, they're fucking savages, they're evil, you know, like... But then again, that could just be his coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was tasked with, as a sniper, and this movie shows you very viscerally what he does as Overwatch, as a sniper, he has to fucking find a position and watch all the Marines and Navy guys, whatever, go down, blow him on the street. He's just got to get their back. Make sure they stay alive. And that is some heavy shit.
I'm sure a lot of things go wrong.
And then things go
People
wrong.
Die.
Even when things go right, it's like, oh, that sucked. Like, I had to do that to make sure my brothers in arms lived. So the movie is it's very apolitical. I wonder if... See, I don't think the memoir could be... But could it be... Because that is the soldier mentality, right? It's not about the politics of the war.
It's about a job.
It's a job.
They were
making sure that each other stays alive.
Exactly.
You know, right? So the movie reflects that. It reflects his point of view. Which is that funny if you go online and you look. Plenty of people on both sides. Like, if you're a Red State Republican... you know, gun-loving, God-fearing type of person. This movie is a hoorah you know, this is brothers in arms type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Totally ignoring a lot of the nuance in the film. Not even, some of it wasn't even that nuanced or subtle. It was like very on the nose when he's not able to connect with his family.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go back to war.
Yeah.
You know, why is it for personal glory or is it to protect his brethren? That's kind of left up in the air. But
I don't think it's for... I think guys who go back to war is because they find...
The addiction of war.
Well, it's not the addiction. It's just they find... It's prison mentality, you know? Guys who are in prison...
It's what they know.
Exactly.
It's what they know.
Guys in prison who stay in prison, they tend to go back to prison because it's what they know. Guys who go to war and are good at war and do war well tend to go back to war because it's what they know.
That reminds me of one moment in this movie that encapsulates that mentality, which is... he is between like tour, because he went on four tours, and he's between tour like two and three. He's at home, he's with his wife and baby, and she's like, listen, this is your home. We need you to be with us to protect your family. You need to be with your family here. You can't keep going over there over and over and over. And then, like, right away, it cuts to him back on an army base, like getting off a plane, walking to a soldier or whatever, and then some guy says, welcome home. Those are his words to him.
Yeah.
The very first words were a welcome home. It's like, oh, this is... So what is this guy's home? Is it with his family, with his wife and kid? Or is it, you know, protecting his homeboys out here in the fucking... In the shit.
Mm-hmm.
In the shit.
Yeah.
And that was some shit, man. Clint Eastwood directing this movie, his style actually ended up being kind of perfect for it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a very... You know, as he's gotten older, he shoots movies fast. You know,
yeah.
He's just like... He's even known for, like, some actors' requests. Hey, can we just do a run-through of a scene? Can we rehearse the scene? He's like, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
And then he films it. And films on to the next one.
On the next one. He's like, wait, that was original. He's like, nah, that was good enough.
That was fine.
We're moving. I'm 80-something years old. I don't have time for your fucking bullshit. But he's old school with his classicism and the way he shoots films, his formalism, right? So there's no shaky cameras. There's no super fast editing. And that really helps with building the tension in all the war scenes. But even then, the real drama comes when he does get to go home and he's trying to readjust and stuff. And Bradley Cooper is amazing.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. It's a good movie. It's definitely a good movie. Would it make my top 10 of the year? I got my top 10 list around here somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where Selma... And actually, I have my top 25.
Top 25.
Is what I'm working on. I'm working on an epic four-parter top 25. No, it's going to be my top 25 that I'm going to put online in four parts. So I'm trying to figure out where it is. Selma and American Sniper, both of them for sure, making it in there somewhere. I don't know if I'd call American Sniper like top 10-ish, but it's close. It might be in like top 15, maybe top 20. It's really good. Billy D, homeboy Billy D, at I Love Blood on Twitter, he put out something like, American Sniper aims for the head, but due to drag, it gets a body
center
shot.
Center mass.
Which I think, you know, very cute, you know, very nice. If you could have turned that into a haiku, it would have been almost perfect. You probably could have. If you took another couple minutes, Billy, you could have turned that into a haiku. That really, really spoke to my heart there. But
what's up with you and haikus, bro?
The haiku is the perfect form of written expression.
Okay.
It is. It really is just like the formalism of it creates the creativity. Plus, it has to be so short that you gotta get it out there like that. You know, Stanley Kubrick loved commercials as a form of art.
Mm-hmm.
The 30-second commercial. Yeah. He respected it so much, even though it was selling you something. That aside... So anyway, he felt that the movie dragged a little bit, and that kept it from being great. I never really thought the movie dragged. I actually liked Eastwood's laconic style for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated the way it worked out. I don't always go for Eastwood styles for some of his movies. Something like the Hereafter one. Did you ever see that one?
No.
With the flood and Matt Damon. And
the only one I saw was Gran Torino.
You didn't see Invictus?
Nope, didn't see Invictus.
How about his other war movies, Flag of Our Fathers and Letters of Iwo Jima?
Nope.
He did one recently.
Nope. Only the one where he called people zipperheads.
It's something after Chicago. Tweet him your hate. Well, I would say American Sniper is definitely a very good movie. Definitely worth seeing in the theater. It's very well made. one of the best of the year. I don't know. Nominated for Best Picture, but we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. definitely like a matinee type movie.
All right.
For sure. So weird though how it's a very apolitical. I think what happened was, Drew, movie's so apolitical. There's a lack of political viewpoint in the movie that both the right and the left managed to imprint their viewpoints on it.
Be like, ha, it's ours.
And it's, these guys are, you're a bunch of fools. You're missing the whole point of the movie. So that was your number one. Crazy opening weekend. Number two, R-rated opening weekend of all time, behind Matrix Reloaded. All
right.
And only by like $2 million.
Yeah.
And I think we already mentioned number one January opening weekend of all time, by far.
Yeah.
Then the before previous one was like $45 million.
Blew that shit out of the water.
Blew it out of the water. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So there you go. Yep. New movie is coming out on DVD this week. A whole bunch of new movies coming out. We got Annabelle.
Okay.
Which is that weird prequel to The Conjuring, right? Didn't make that much money. The Box Trolls, which I want to see.
Me too.
A little disappointed I didn't see it in theaters. The Drop, which we did see.
That was okay.
It was okay, right?
Mr. Hardy.
I've seen some people like on Twitter like really talk that movie up, like they really, really like it.
Yeah.
I wish I connected with it more. It felt a little light. You know what I mean? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like a TV episode, writ large. That's what Black Hat felt like. Black Hat felt like a pilot, like an HBO pilot.
Okay.
And like we were going to learn the story of Hathaway as he moved on throughout
Black
time.
Black Hat, Hathaway Hacker.
But it never, that never materialized. You know what I forgot to do? American Sniper on Rotten Tomatoes, 73%. 73%. Average rating, 6.8 out of 10. So, I think that's about it right there. Lucy comes out on DVD.
That was fun.
The dumbest, smart, dumb action movie out there.
Yeah.
It tries so hard.
It really does.
It wants to have ideas.
It has ideas, it just doesn't follow through on them.
It wants to be smart so bad. You're just...
not there. Sorry, man. Sorry.
You are just...
B+.
In your quest to be so smart, you ended up being so, so dumb. But it's a fun movie, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's fun. And Scarlett Johansson fucking... She killed it.
She really did. I mean, and, you know, God's in it, so...
God is in Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And finally on DVD, The Zero Theorem, which is an interesting movie for sure. Terry Gilliam's latest, written by one of my college professors. So.
Starring Christoph Waltz.
Starring Christoph Waltz. And that kid was really good.
Yeah, remember? Whoever the kid was.
Whoever that kid was.
And he was in something else we saw recently, too.
He was, wasn't he? I'm sure we'll find out more about that guy in the future.
He was in.
It's on the tip of Drew's brain. He's going to think about it while I drink.
Was it The Grand Budapest? Was he in the Grand Budapest Hotel?
As what? As who? As what?
No, he was. He was in another Wes Anderson. He was in the
Moonrise Kingdom. There you go.
I knew. Yes.
Drew with his facial recognition.
I'm really good with that stuff for some reason.
Thank you, because I'm poor with it. What's coming out in theaters this weekend?
Coming out in theaters this weekend. New Johnny Depp movie, Mordecai, looks kind of weird.
Yeah, you know they've been pushing that super hard. The trailer does not make me laugh once.
No. But Gwyneth Paltrow looks amazing.
She always looks amazing.
I know, it's so weird.
She's Gwyneth Paltrow. even when she like says or does stupid things, I'm like, but she's so pretty.
She is.
I like Johnny Depp, but it's like he said in an interview recently. That in the 90s he became friends with Marlon Brando, and Marlon Brando at that point he was a fat old rich man, yep, right, who was just making crap. He didn't give a shit. And Marlon Brando told Johnny Depp, he's like, you know, you get to a point where you've made so much money, you've done this, you've done that, where the reviews, what people think about you, about your art, it just doesn't matter anymore. You just do what you want to do. Johnny Depp said he very recently, in the last few years, has gotten to that point where he doesn't give a fuck about what people think.
He doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't care anymore. He does what he wants to do, which is great for him. We're happy that you're, Johnny Depp. I've been a fan of yours since Gilbert Grape.
Yes.
I'm glad because, he's listening to the show right now.
Of course.
Because he's a fan. We're glad that you're happy with what you're doing, and you're doing movies like Transcendence and Mordecai, and this is the type of stuff you want to do. But brother, it's terrible.
It's not very good.
It's not good. It's not good. You're not good. We want the good Johnny Depp back. Mm-hmm. I feel like Captain Sparrow, like, it did something.
Yeah,
Jack
did.
Sparrow. He made so much money doing that that he was like, "This is what people want." Big goofy character.
I can do that.
Before Pirates of the Caribbean, he was not a bankable movie star at all.
I mean, he was good, but...
He's always good and respected, but none of his movies made money. Yeah. Then he did Pirates of the Caribbean. By the time he made Pirates of the Caribbean 4, he was getting paid. He got paid $50 million to do Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
That's a ridiculous amount of money.
He is so...
Rich.
So rich. So... It's disgusting. He's... No, he's not rich.
Wealthy.
Yes.
Disgustingly wealthy.
Precisely. And so now he's making movies like this, not because he has to, but because he wants to. Because
he can.
And there's nothing in the trailer that makes him be like, why did you make... Oh, I see why he made this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing that, you know, yeah. It just... I'm just saying. What I'm just saying is my expectations are very low. And also, you know what bothers me? That it's spelled Mort Dekai.
Yep.
That feels wrong. That just feels...
Anyway, also coming out this weekend,
that feels wrong.
New Jennifer Lopez movie.
J-Lo.
The Boy Next Door. She bangs an underage dude and what, he blackmails her into
more
something
sex?
Crazy?
I think more sex.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I would blackmail J-Lo into more sex.
Maybe. Of course
you would. See what she's wearing at the recent... Anyway. Directed by Rob Cohen, the director of the third Mummy movie, the first Fast and the Furious, just pretty much the worst movies of like the last 15, 20 years. Rob Cohen sucks.
All right.
But he's made a ton of action movies. And this is not, this is like kind of a throwback to Fatal Attraction type of thing. This definitely seems like something that I would totally watch on HBO.
Also coming out this weekend, The Loft.
I've been seeing the marketing for that is intriguing.
Yeah.
The like the poster is
looks really cool.
Is striking. The commercial. I haven't seen commercials on TV. No trailers. No. I haven't seen a single trailer in front of a movie. But I've been seeing commercials on TV, and it's like, oh, it's kind of a Hitchcockian intrigue, mystery, weird type of thing. You know what? If it's playing around here, I have no idea what the release pattern of this movie is going to be. That came out of nowhere. If it's playing here, I might go see it.
Also coming out,
still gotta go see that Hobbit movie.
There's that new old man Al Pacino movie, The Humbling.
Oh, I don't even know about that one. The Humbling. I thought you were gonna say Danny Collins.
No, wait.
The Humbling. I don't even know about The Humbling.
I think this is. It says it's coming out. Is this the movie? I think it is.
It's a movie where Al Pacino gets humbled. And he's like, I am so humbled. Ooh-ha. That's a terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what this movie is. Anyway, there's this movie with Scoot McNairy coming out called Black Sea.
Black Sea, I want to see this. This is the Jude Law submarine thriller movie. Not only does it have my boy Scoot, but it's got my boy Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes, he does.
As well as Jude Law, who I really like Jude Law. I think the guy is great. Black Sea is a movie where... half English, half Russian group of dudes get together, get in a submarine. They go find a Nazi sub that's been sunk, and they want to get the gold out of there. It's a Kevin McDonald movie. Kevin McDonald did the Marley documentary, the 2.5-3-hour Marley documentary. That's pretty awesome. And he's directed a couple movies that are, you know, like his movies have been good, but not great. He did that movie, The Eagle, which might still be on Netflix with Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell, and it's a Roman Legion film.
Oh, I remember when that came out. I never saw it, but I remember when that came out.
Well, yeah, like 4 years ago, five years ago, something like that now.
Although, you know, with as much as I like Channing Tatum these days, that might be something. No, it'll probably make me like him less.
No, he's okay. I remember him being okay in it. I remember seeing the movie. Because it was like the only fucking thing playing that January weekend. I was like, shit, I guess I'll go see this. And I remember coming out of it and being like, it was okay. Nothing against Tatum at all. He was fine enough. This was before the Tatumissance.
Yes.
As opposed to the McConaissance. That doesn't really work out. I'll back to the drawing board with that. But this one, this Black Sea, though, looks pretty damn good. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to that one. Anything else coming out this weekend?
And not of noteworthy.
All right, well then here we go. Let's take a break. We got the Crespo Disco. For no particular reason, I picked a couple of Coen Brothers movies.
Okay.
We got the main theme from Fargo, Carter Burwell. And pretty much what is the main theme from The Man Who Wasn't There, which, spoiler alert, it's just a Beethoven song.
And he's not really there.
So, and the man is not really there, but this is some Beethoven. So here you go. A couple of tunes, a little laid back. So pour yourself another glass of wine. You know, smoke them if you got them. Enjoy your bubble bath. Here we go. We'll be back with the second half of the show of Cinema Crespity Sip.
Welcome to the Questbogo.
Is it the Crespo Dome or is it the Crespo Do Me?
Crespo Do Me! How many times have I heard that? Let me count the ways.
Zero.
Welcome back to episode 106 of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, with Drew Sagogburn. Drew,
what up?
How's it going, dude?
It's going, man.
Let's get the plugs out of the way real quick. Check out Answer Pants at rampantradio.com. I was on episode 185 this past Monday. Check out the show. It's a great show. Not only check out episode 185, but check out the other ones as well, because it's good stuff.
Weren't you on another one of those episodes, too?
Oh, like a year ago.
Not just 185?
I was on... Wait, I can't remember the other one. If you go back pretty much a year to January 2014, you'll find my last appearance on the show. Pretty much an annual thing. We talked about you right at the top, Drew.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we mentioned you. They were like, "Where's Drew?" And I was like, "Well, you guys didn't say like I could bring him, man. You gotta let me know."
Yeah, you got. Well, and then I have to know so I can make accommodations.
And then you gotta know. And I told him, I was like, "Man, this guy gets up so early."
No, it's so early.
You guys do the show so late because they do the show at 8:30 at night live.
Which is like a half hour before I'm supposed to be in bed.
For you, this guy's got an early bedtime, early to bed, early to rise, makes Drusa Cogburn a grumpy son of a bitch.
Pretty much.
But I told him next time that I do the show, I'm going to pretty much bring you out with me. I'm going to drag you out there.
All right, I'll make it happen.
So, we'll do an episode of Answer Brand. So check those guys out. Again, remember, ChrisCrespo.com. You can check out Cinema Crespo. So there, as well as on Stitcher. And iTunes. Rate us, review us wherever you listen to us. We appreciate it. Drew, where can people find you online?
Tweet me your hate at Tahara419.
Tweet the hate. And hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Also hit up the show at Crespo Diso. Follow us, friend us. We will tweet you back because we're cool like that. Let's see, we got a lot to do here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start with. I'm gonna go ahead and start with this bonus review here. Watching the HBO's.
Hubbo.
Had some of that couch lock. I was inflicted with the couch lock.
It happens from time to time.
It happens from time to time. I don't know why necessarily.
I got inflicted with the couch lock this weekend
Drew
as well.
Drew gets a couch lock. Drew got the couch lock this weekend.
Hardcore case of the couch. I actually got couch lock so bad I didn't go see American Sniper. I had the chance.
There you go.
But I had the couch lock.
The couch lock.
It got me.
It's like the itis. Yeah. It just hits people sometimes. And I ended up watching like 85% of The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann and Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Oh, and Titties McGee.
And Titties McGee. What's her face? McDrew. The chick that's in those commercials now.
Yeah, yeah.
She's much better in the movie. In the commercial, she's horrible. She's like, she cannot act. In the movie, she's slightly better.
Oh, okay.
She cannot act. No. She's terrible.
Well, she's got titties.
But I'll tell you, movie itself, I watched it.
All right. Is that the whole review? Please tell me that's the whole review, because I really don't care to know any more about this movie.
Pretty much. I've always liked Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah, she's hot.
And I've had a thing for Leslie Mann for a while. Since the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Cameron Diaz fucking the car thing in
The Counselor.
That was really weird.
That was weird.
And not so hot.
Well, especially when he coupled that with Javier Bardem's description of it. It's not a good twofer there. Not a good combination. Chris Kress will read things off the internet. Here we go. Oh, I should have had a theme song. Yeah, fuck it. Billy D. We mentioned this on the Crespo Disco for the metal episode we just did, right?
The Crispy Disco?
I figured Billy would chime in and let us know what he thought. But he sent out a tweet. He used acronyms, but I'm going to go ahead and say the whole thing. Between The Buried and Me is to Paul Thomas Anderson as Rob Zombie is to Tim Burton.
Yes, agreed.
I was like, ooh, wow.
Agreed.
That's good stuff there. So that only makes sense to metal geeks and film nerds, mm-hmm. That weird Venn diagram. You guys pretty much sit there with that one. So, yeah, since we mentioned Billy D, our New York City correspondent, you can check him out at I Love Blood on Twitter. And check out his website, BillyDivine.com. We got our Billy. These are the movies. Here we go. Billy. So glad you made it.
Mr. Chicago.
How's it going, my dudes? This week, I realized I had not yet been able to have my yearly snow day viewing of The Thing because we haven't had any snow. On a day with crappy snow-like conditions this week, I fired up Netflix and found a crappy Thing-like film to watch.
Oh.
Having already survived sailing the Blood Ocean and cresting the Blood Mountain, I prepared to climb the Blood Glacier.
Oh, Blood Glacier.
A German Thing rip-off clone homage, Blood Glacier was better than I expected. A German team of climate scientists are researching glacial retreat and discover one that is quote-unquote bleeding.
Uh-oh.
Contact with the quote-unquote blood causes mutation and spontaneous crossing of species.
Uh-oh.
The practical effects are awesome and kind of cheesy. The CG is a bit wonky, but the actors are using the material to its fullest potential, and there are some fun, thrilling, and scary moments to be had. Blood Glacier is a fun rainy day movie and is best watched under foggy conditions. Stay warm, homies. Billy D.
Billy D. There you go. Blood Glacier. That sounds fun.
It does. Well, with a name like Blood Glacier, I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely so.
I wonder if the Blood Glacier is on top of the Blood Mountain.
Oh.
In the middle, and maybe the Blood Mountain's in the middle of the
Blood Ocean. That reminds me how the people who did the practical effects work for the Thing prequel that came out in 2011.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff they did was not used in the movie, was replaced with CG, which is infuriating. So the company that made that, they still have all this stuff for that movie that was unused. They have a Kickstarter going to try to get up funds so they can make their own movie.
Oh, with those effects?
With all those effects.
That never got used?
Yeah, a bunch of practical effects-driven horror type thing that's kind of like would be like a Thing homage type of stuff, which sounds awesome. In addition to Billy D's Death in the Movies, we got a bonus Billy D installment here. It's Crespo Disco Metal, : Billy D's Death of the Disco. He writes, "What's up, homies? Just finished up listening to the metal edition of the Crespo Disco. Remember, you can go back and check that out. That was the last episode we just released. We talked about our five metal songs in some capacity."
I was about to say, it wasn't my top five.
Top five, anyway. He writes, "Nice work, ! I thought I'd contribute a few since I primarily have metal going most of the time. I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff that I am loving at the moment at you. Horns up. Heads at prime bang angles. Let's tear the roof off this motherfucker. Skeleton Witch. Yeah. This horrifying force. Described as soul-thrashing black sorcery, you would think this is some of the fastest, most vicious metal being produced today. And you would be right. They also happen to be fun as hell and one of the most entertaining live bands I've ever seen." I've never heard of Skeleton Witch.
I've seen Bill's posting about the Skeleton Witch shows that he's been to and some of the albums that he's got. The artwork looks crazy. The band looks nuts. I'm surprised I haven't listened to him yet.
Oh, I'm going to check out Skeleton Witch. At the Gates, At War with Reality. ATG changed the game nearly 20 years ago with Slaughter of the Soul. This past year, they reformed and recorded a new album, It Fucking Slays. At the Gates is some classic metal. Good stuff. Junius, Forgiving the Cleansing Meteor. I've heard of Junius. You know who lives in Junius?
I'm going to turn Billy on to Junius.
People bitch and moan about whether or not they are metal. It's Morrissey metal, but metal just the same.
It is Morrissey metal.
This is the closing track to their most recent EP, a continuation of an apocalypse story hatched in a previous album.
All right. I kind of lost touch with Junius after their second EP, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe you should get back with them. Forgiving the Cleansing Mother. Maybe check that out. Gojira.
Oh, Gojira's so good.
The name of the song is Explosia. That's a funny name. I was at the show for this video. It was absolute mayhem. Nothing like seeing a world-class death metal band in a venue smaller than the Social.
Oh!
Social is small.
Tiny.
Social is a small place. And finally, Death Haven. That's Death, D-E-A-F. Death Haven. Name of the song is Dreamhouse. My kids are going to be trying to steal my double vinyl of this when I'm old. They will ask me to tell them stories about seeing them live. My girlfriend is okay with it. There you go. Black metal with your major chords, explosions in the sky with screaming played at 10 times the speed. False metal. Call them what you will. Just don't say they aren't trying something different.
That stuff even. That's something. All right, I'm sold on that one. And then he puts bonus because the maiden, that's why. And there's a link to a maiden song, mm-hmm. but I don't have it written down. It's just a link, and I printed it out. And maiden. He writes, bang on, homies, believe me. Yeah.
Why? Because maiden.
Why? Because maiden. I mean, any maiden. If you ask me, there you go. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Let's see. Where does that leave us? You know what? Now we got some questions and mini movie reviews, I believe.
All right.
Juicy Cogburn, you got us over there. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's talk about these Oscar nominations. 2015 Oscar noms
came
out.
The Osc-noms.
Some glaring omissions.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Some interesting stuff here. Mm-hmm. Best Picture, real quick. They can nominate up to 10. For Best Picture, they have nominated American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, bit of a surprise, Imitation Game. Whoa, shit.
Is it really a surprise? I'm pretty sure everyone enjoys watching Ray Fiennes say fuck.
Yeah, but no one was expecting this to really be like nominated for a bunch of awards. No. It's what's his name? Wes Anderson's first nomination for Best Director.
Yeah.
For Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's Ray Fiennes. It's the power of Fiennes.
Fiennes is not nominated for Best Actor, though.
It doesn't matter.
You would think he would be. It's the power of Fiennes. All the fucks.
He says fuck a lot, and he talks about banging old ladies.
All right, we'll get back to that in a second. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Here we go. It's a sparring round. Did they or didn't they? I'm going to give you two actors. You tell me if they were in a movie together.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Number one, were these two actors in a movie together, Drew? Val Kilmer and Clint Eastwood.
No.
That's correct. Number two, Michael Keaton and Alec Baldwin.
Sure, why not?
That's correct. They were in Beetlejuice. Number three, Brad Pitt and Hugh Jackman.
No.
That's correct. Number four, Matt Damon and Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
That is incorrect. They were not in a movie together. Number five, Bruce Willis and Steve Carell.
No.
That is incorrect. They were both in Over the Hedge. Over the Hedge.
Ah, voices. Over the Hedge.
Number six, were they in a movie together? Robert De Niro and Steven Seagal.
No.
They were both in Machete.
Oh,
Machete.
They were. You're right.
Number seven. We're in a movie together. Jennifer Aniston and birthday boy Kevin Costner.
Yes.
That is correct. Rumor has it. They were both in a movie called Rumor Has It. Number eight. Christian Slater. Johnny Depp.
No.
That is correct. Number nine. Tom Cruise and Meryl Streep.
Yes.
That's correct. Lions for Lambs. And number 10, Jude Law, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No.
That is correct. So you got 7 out of 10. Good job, dude. Well done. You are ready to take on the world. Let's get some world players in here. So Best Picture, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game. Yeah, I don't think so, right?
No.
Selma, The Theory of Everything, which you didn't see. That's a Stephen Hawking movie. And Whiplash.
I'm really glad that Whiplash.
That's really super cool.
Because
it's not going to win.
No, of course not. But just the fact that it was nominated means somebody else actually saw the movie.
And people are going to see it more now. Yeah. Like, what's this Whiplash movie?
It was so fucking good.
Now, when it comes to Best Director, of those movies, we have Birdman, Boyhood,
Grand Budapest. Imitation.
Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game. Bennett Miller nominated for Best Director for Foxcatcher. But Foxcatcher not nominated for Best Picture. What the fuck is that all about?
Know.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Makes no sense whatsoever. Morton Tilden be nominated for the Imitation Game also
it's,
makes
it's
no
a
sense.
Throwaway.
Headhunters is a better movie than Imitation Game, if you ask me. Same director. Who's really missing from that top five? Should have got rid of Morton. Should have put in Ava DuVernay who did Selma.
Yes.
Because that's a strong movie.
It was.
She was great as a director. It's a great movie. You know who else snubbed from Selma? Hmm. David Oyelowo.
Really?
Yes. Not even nominated.
Should have been nominated hardcore.
Your Best Actor nominees are Steve Carell for Foxcatcher. He's great.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Bradley Cooper, American Sniper. He's very, very good. Definitely, I can see that happening. And Michael Keaton for Birdman. With David Oyelowo out of the picture, Michael Keaton is now the front runner. Benedict Cumberbatch for Imitation Game and Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking in Theory of Everything. Those both feel like...
I mean, I could see giving Eddie Redmayne just a nomination.
I guess. I mean, the movie was good, and he's good
but, apparently, he was great in it. Benedict Cumberbatch in the Imitation Game.
Nah.
I just think I think once again it's a throwaway.
Right.
It's more of like, listen, Benedict Cumberbatch is awesome. People should see more of his movies. Let's give him a nomination. He's not going to win, but at least let's put him in, you know, the echelon of Academy Award nominated actors.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's David Oyelowo should be in there.
Oh, totally, 100%.
For MLK. Sticking with the actor categories, Best Actress, we have Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night. Never even saw it.
Nope.
Felicity Jones, Theory of Everything, Stephen Hawking's wife. Julianne Moore for Still Alice, where she plays a lady with the beginning of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, where she's the girl who's gone. Right?
Yeah.
And Reese Witherspoon for Wild.
Which you saw.
And she's great in it. She's very good. So, like, I'm fine with that. We'll get to the weirdness of all these acting things in a second. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall for The Judge. Never even saw it. Ethan Hawke for Boyhood. Ed Norton for Birdman, which is interesting.
Weird.
Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher.
Yeah, I could see that.
Deserved. And J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, the winner.
Should be the winner.
Winner, right there.
Right there.
He will win. And Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Boyhood got a ton of nominations.
Well,
Boyhood
it's and, a very ambitious
Birdman.
Movie.
It is very ambitious, yes.
And Birdman was just fucking awesome.
It's crazy. Laura Dern for Wild. She played Reese Witherspoon's character's mother. Kira Knightley for Imitation Game, which is right. I mean, she didn't do anything spectacular.
Anything for the Imitation Game seems forced.
It does, right? Emma Stone for Birdman, which I love Birdman.
She was good, but she...
I don't think it's like award worthy.
No. Right?
And then Meryl Streep Into the Woods, that feels like...
Meryl Streep.
It's just Meryl Streep, which is weird. Of all those four acting categories and from the directing categories of all those people, there's one Spanish dude in there for Birdman, the director of Birdman. Yeah. Everything else, white. White and outside the actresses, white and men.
Yeah.
But it's all white. I saw in the Orlando Sentinel, the TV critic, thanks for this guy for tuning, for giving us his 2 cents. Hal Boedeker, local TV critic, wrote this whole op-ed in Orlando Sentinel about how people are complaining about the lack of diversity in this year's nominations.
Mm-hmm.
How there's only one Spanish dude and everyone else is white, white, white. You know what his response was?
What?
There is diversity. There are a whole bunch of English actors nominated. Marion Cotillard is French. She's a French actress. There's a Swedish director. You know, what are all these people?
So they're 50 Shades of White.
Right? Dude. They're all they're the whitest of the white people.
Yeah.
It's the whitest of the white people. But he was like, oh, because they're Europeans, there's diversity in the nominees. So a lot of people are like, where's the diversity? This is really reflecting poorly on the Academy. I would like to point out that Lego Movie not nominated for animated feature.
Damn shame.
Which is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
The Academy Award winning team of Lord Miller.
I have a infographic here that I found very interesting. It's called The Diversity Gap in the Academy Awards. This, Hal Boedeker, TV critic for Orlando Sentinel, who I'm sure you know, he listens to the show.
Of course.
So I'm talking to you specifically. This is the diversity that we're talking about. Not your European diversity, but real diversity. In 85 years of the Academy Awards, from 1927 to 2012, the Academy has consisted of producers, writers, and actors, right? Of the producers, 98% of them are white.
Uh-huh.
98% of the writers are white.
Uh-huh.
88% of the actors are white.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to the winners, Best Actress winners... 99% of them have been white.
Mm-hmm.
1% for Best Actress. And that was one person, Halle Berry, in 2002
mm-hmm.
for Monsters Ball. In which she played an abusive mother.
Yeah.
Okay. Same goes for Best Supporting Actress, where you have winners like Octavia Spencer for The Help, where she played a maid. Mm-hmm. Hattie McDaniel for Gone with the Wind, where she played a maid. Yeah. Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave, where she played a slave. And, Ghost. Whoopi Goldberg, she played a phony psychic.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to do. If you want to be a black woman and win an award with the Academy,
you've got to play those awful, stereotypical roles.
You got to be a bad mom, a slave, a maid, or a psychic. Or a child, Miss Cleo type thing. Right? Yeah, plenty of diversity. Best actor winners in 85 years, 93% of them have been white, 7% people of color. A list so small we can count them out right here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people have won the Best Actor Award. Best Director winners, 99% male, 1% female. Catherine Bigelow, yep. Hurt Locker, only female to ever win Best Director.
She whooped her ex-husband's ass.
Whooped her ex-husband's ass because he made Avatar. That movie is not that good. Academy voters, 94% white, 6% people of color, 77% male, 23% female. In 85 years of Academy Awards, less than 4% of acting Oscars have been awarded to black actors. Producers and writers make all the calls related to what content is developed and what is cast. Kind of small print here. Yeah, you see what's going on with this bullshit.
So go figure, the whiteys are voting for whiteys and keeping it all white.
And then they're like, oh, the people like the white movies, so we gotta keep it white. Keep it white, Drew. Stay white, brother.
Oh, I plan on it.
You have no plans?
Nope. Uh-uh.
All right, well, let's see. So there you go. The nominees were out for you. We will do a bonus episode where we make our official picks.
Well, we're going to have to because we'll have to have another.
It'll be our third one, man. Our third annual
Oscar. I'm going to win one of these, damn it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that day, Drew. We're going to celebrate together. It's going to be great. But in the meantime, let's see what the people are wanting to talk about right now.
The people, at Uncool Girl Jen on Twitter.
Shout out to Uncool Girl Jen.
Asks, have you seen this movie 3 Days to Kill, currently on Netflix? I'm not big on action flicks, but it was entertaining.
Happy birthday, Kevin Costner.
Yeah, we've seen it, and it was...
Didn't like it. Did not like it. But then again, we went and saw it in a theater. We had to drive to a theater. We paid money. We sat down. We sat through trailers for it.
Bike riding at the soccer court, Chris. That's all I have to say.
Bike riding at the soccer court made no sense. That's right. I totally forgot about that. It's so bad. I think it's different when you just, it's on Netflix. Let me just put it on. It's a mild diversion, you know? Mm-hmm. Expectations are much lower. Just a whole thing where the movie's called 3 Days to Kill, but there's no thing about 3 days.
They have 3 days to kill. She says it.
She's like, we have 3 days to kill. Yeah. What do you want to do? Let's go.
No! No, he said it! That was really at Rage Against Twit says, the guest mini review, : first thought, Paul Walker, music lets you know he's a bad guy,
yeah.
The new T-900.
T-900. That's between Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes, and Robert Patrick.
Yes. I mean, it's not Paul Walker, but I guess he kind of looks like him.
He's got the bland white guy thing going for him. But for some reason, I like Dan Stevens more than I ever liked Paul Walker.
Blue eyes.
It just causes the movie.
It's the dreamy blue eyes, Chris.
Paul Walker has, you know, some steely blues.
No, he doesn't.
Bradley Cooper's got them steely blues.
They do not have the Dan Stevens steely blues.
The Dan Stevens steely blues.
At Matt Sillery says, shout out to I Am Chris Crespo for talking about The Guest. Rented it from Redbox today. Very good movie.
The word is out, people. It is official. The Guest is great. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this for months now.
It's such a good movie.
Finally, people are getting on our page.
And at Matt Sillery, I've rented over 30 movies from Redbox over the past 17 days.
Oh, my God.
Gonna spend my day off Friday flooding Crespo Diso with listener reviews.
And sure enough, that Friday came.
And here they are.
Here we go. We do many reviews on the show. You can hit us up on Twitter at Crespo Diso or email us cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. I call myself the critic of the people. This is a venue for the people. If you want to get your opinions out there, we will read them on our show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how great is that, right?
Yes.
You can get your word out there. It's time for Matt Sillery. He's taking over the show. It's time for his multitude of movie reviews. Here we go.
Belle.
Bell, okay. Yeah.
A love story with a powerful message, well-written, acted, and directed.
You remember those trailers? That was the one with the black girl that was adopted by Tom Wilkinson's family.
Yes.
And then...
And then
that one guy was like, she is a brute and an animal.
And then the other guy was like, I would totally want to bang her.
I want to bang her in the outhouse or something like that.
Exactly.
I don't care for the umber of her skin or some shit like that. Man.
The Guest. It's as good as Chris says it is.
There we go. Reconfirmation of The Guest.
Under the Skin. Can't describe what I saw in 140 characters. Can't even recommend this to anyone. Was it good? I guess. Hashtag shrug.
Fair enough. I've seen the movie twice. Still haven't written about it.
I've seen the movie twice. I think I understand it, and I'm still transfixed by her being naked.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the nakedness is great. Mm-hmm. That movie's got other things going on for it, though.
Lots of really weird skin balloons.
I feel like I gotta see it one more time. I want to watch it one more time before I write about it.
Things crawling out of... weird.
Yeah.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
All right.
It had its moments. Meh.
Sounds about right. Yep, I agree with that.
Olympus Has Fallen. That's the one with...
That's the Gerard Butler one.
Cinematic NyQuil.
Yeah. White House Down is the better version.
There is no Chrome Rocket Launcher with Channing Tatum playing, the guy from Die Hard.
And Jamie Foxx is a president with Jordans.
Yes.
Just watch that.
And a Chrome Rocket Launcher.
I don't see how anyone likes Olympus Has Fallen better than that one. It doesn't make any sense.
A Walk Among the Tombstones. Liam Neeson doing Liam Neeson tight shit.
Yeah.
With Dan Stevens.
And then Creepy Guys. Yeah, Dan Stevens is in it. Not as good as The Guest, but still.
The Equalizer.
There you go.
It's John Wick with less action. Love Denzel, but I have a problem. I'm calling Keanu.
Yeah, I'll take John Wick over to Equalizer.
Oh, any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Uh-huh.
A movie to fall asleep to.
Yeah.
And I would add hashtag choke sex.
No, choke sex is 300. Unless now is that your nickname for Evergreen? Is her nickname now Choke Sex?
I think so.
Poor Evergreen.
I think it is. She's got some rocking titties, though.
Her titties are
good lord.
She displays them. Titties on display.
The Expendables 3. Mm-hmm. You either know what you're getting by now, or you haven't seen an Expendables movie.
That's true. Yeah. That one's more of a watered down one, though. It's the PG-13.
Mercenaries.
Never even heard of that one.
Kind of like a female version of The Expendables.
Oh, okay.
A really bad, low-budget version.
All right, I can picture it.
Rover, or The Rover.
Yes.
Stealing a crappy car in post-apocalyptic Australia has some pretty shitty consequences. Good movie.
Yeah, it does.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I mean, the dude just, he was just doing what he was trying to do, Chris.
Just wanted to get his car back.
Motherfuckers got in the way.
Those motherfuckers. those criminal scumbags. Man, Guy Pearce is so good at that.
No Good Deed. Elba went full creep mode for this role.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was good enough.
You know, that's one where it's a dumb B movie. It's Seth do what it wanted to do. It's not good, but I'm not going to shit on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too easy to shit on that one. Idris Elba is in fucking creep mode in that one. Like oh, he's so
full on creep mode.
He's so charming and nice. And oh my God, he's a fucking psychopath.
And last but definitely not least, Chef.
Yes.
Well played, Jon Favreau. His ex-wife was Sofia Vergara. Side chick was Scarlett Johansson. Made a good movie. He's the greatest of all time.
He's GOAT. That's funny. That's true, though.
Yeah.
When I saw the movie, I was thinking, like Jon, you're
of
just...
Of course, great casting, my friend.
That's how you're going to
cast
Great
casting.
Him. Of course you are. Well, thank you, Matt Sullery. We really appreciate it. Again, if you want to share your reviews, your thoughts with us, we will be more than happy to read them on our show. I have a bunch of movie development type news here for the movie news. Some interesting fucking things going on. Interesting fucking movies coming out, man, and maybe even a TV show or two.
So porn? Interesting fucking movies.
Yes, interesting fucking movies. Like this one, looking forward to seeing how this one turns out. Monopoly. Drew. They've been trying to make a Monopoly movie for years.
Well, they tried with Battleship. Failed. What else did they try with?
Ouija.
Failed.
They're making a Ouija sequel. It did not fail. It had a budget of $5 million, made like 80 or 90 worldwide. You know what that means?
Sequel.
Monopoly, a few years ago, was being developed by Ridley Scott. And the few little tidbits he put out there online into the world about what his Monopoly movie was going to be about made no fucking sense whatsoever.
Okay.
It was strange as hell.
Who's playing the Monopoly movie?
That's the thing. Nothing's been cast. There are no plot deets. Ridley Scott is not on anymore. He has moved on. He's got plenty on his plate. But there is some news now on the Monopoly movie. Producer Randall Emmett reveals Monopoly will shoot this summer, which means we can expect it in about 2016. He offered this status update in a conversation with Collider. Quote, we've worked on the script for about 9 months. 9 months of writing a Monopoly script. We now have a script that we're going to make this summer. The cast is young kids, but there's one lead, an older guy chasing the kids, let's say. Goonies,
The Monopoly Man.
Goonies is a perfect analogy to what Monopoly will hopefully be. There is a treasure map. It's a family adventure film. We really spend a lot of time on the script, really trying to create family fun for everybody.
So they're not just driving around paying rent and utility bills and public works.
They did mention, where did I see this?
Trains.
Where they were shooting it. Filming would likely take place in Georgia and Louisiana with exterior shots on the Atlantic City boardwalk.
No, Boardwalk and Park Place, niggas.
So the Monopoly movie's coming. Brace yourselves. You know what else may be coming? This Sony hack that was recent where all the emails came out. One of the emails, I think we may have talked about this on the show. Someone pitched the idea of a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover film. Did we talk about that on the show? You're making a face.
Okay, sure.
21 Jump Street, Men in Black crossover. That here, was someone's idea.
Here comes Channing Tatum and Will Smith.
Ooh.
Jonah Hill and Tommy Lee Jones.
Ooh. Now I'm intrigued.
Someone asked the team of Lord Miller about the possible 21 Jump Street, Men in Black rumors. And they kind of admitted at the end, it's a possibility that something like this might actually happen.
Lord Miller.
Doing a 21 Jump Street, Men in Black crossover film.
With everybody involved. Tommy Lee. Oh, man. That could be one of the most hilarious, weird, sci-fi. By party move. What?
Right? How would that even happen? Here is a quote from Phil Lord. He says, nothing has changed. It's still a crazy idea. And we only do things that seem like they're going to be terrible. We're really focusing on what's a great story for Schmidt and Jenko and how to tell the next chapter in their lives. And perhaps use creatures from another world at the same time.
So maybe it could be a 21 Jump Street Men in Black, where they get recruited by the Men in Black, and then Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith could come in and be like, yo, we're going to show you what's up.
We got to train you to fight aliens. Come on. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It really does.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Following up the interview, Seth Rogen is busy with The Preacher.
Comic book.
For AMC, the adaptation of The Preacher comic book, in which, this guy, this preacher, he's trying to find God so he can shoot him in the face.
Pretty much.
Rogan put out a couple of tweets recently. Seth Rogan, he tweeted, enough of this bullshit, time to make hashtag preacher. And then he followed that up with some inspiration for hashtag preacher, and it's a picture of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 DVDs, a stack of DVDs. So the research that they're doing for the movie, for the TV show, because he's writing it with Evan Goldberg, his creative partner, and they may even direct the pilot. So here is the list of movies to give you an idea of where they're going with The Preacher.
Okay.
Unforgiven, The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, it's a western, right?
The Raid. Short Term 12. Which is a drama from this summer that I've been meaning to watch on Netflix. Super, super, supposed to be a really good movie. Friday Night Lights. Badlands. Terrence Malick's Badlands. The Coen Brothers' True Grit. The Tree of Life, with Terrence Malick. I Saw the Devil, the Korean serial killer movie. 310 to Yuma, looks like the remake one. The trilogy of Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and Good Man and the Ugly, some more Clint Eastwood. And finally, Kill Bill Volume 1 and Kill Bill Volume 2.
Well, there's good. I mean, if they're going to stay true to the source material, it's going to be hella violent.
Hella violent. With the inclusion of things like Kill Bill and I Saw the Devil and The Raid, looks like they're leaning towards that way for sure. I think that's very interesting that's. I like that he put out that tweet. Like, this is our creative process here. Yeah. For this
what this is a little inspiration.
Exactly. This is what we're watching for the next couple of weeks. Edgar Wright, fresh off, not making Ant-Man. His last movie was The World's End, right? I like all his movies. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End.
Yep.
It's got Peppermore's World. His next movie is called Baby Driver. Okay. Weird name for a movie. It has been described as, quote, the ultimate rock and roll car chase film.
Hopefully there's a baby driving.
Hopefully there is a baby driving. Probably not. Here's what Variety says about the Baby Driver plot. Quote, plot follows a talented young getaway driver who relies on the beat of his own personal soundtrack to be the best in the game. But after being coerced into working for a crime boss, he must face the music when a doomed heist threatens his life, and freedom.
Drive.
But with more rock and roll instead of synthy
80s technopop stuff.
And directed by Edgar Wright. So it's going to be all, a lot of lighter hyperactivity. Edgar Wright making a car chase movie?
Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I mean, how can you say no? Doug Liman directed Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. They're teaming up again to make another movie.
Are they going to have to rename this one for marketing purposes?
They may have to, because the title they have so far sucks. It's called Mena. M-E-N-A. So that title's going to have to go. But Tom Cruise reuniting with Doug Liman. It's a 1980s drug thriller.
Okay.
The Hollywood Reporter reports, because that's what they do, Doug Liman is taking over the film from Ron Howard.
Oh.
Ron Howard loves the project. Blah, 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 blah. It was a $1 million spec screenplay that's Universal bought. So some guy just wrote the screenplay out of nowhere.
We'll give you $1 million.
And Universal is like, here's $1 million. Give us that screenplay. It is about, quote, Barry Seal, a fired TWA pilot who became a major drug smuggler for the Medellin cartel. He was later recruited by the DEA and CIA to provide intelligence. With his work tying to the Iran-Contra scandal. It says trying, but I fixed it. He was assassinated by Colombians in 1986, end quote. Whoa, spoiler alert.
True story.
So there you go. So that's the next Tom Cruise movie.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, I can see him doing a fun 80s style, like Blow, like that Johnny Depp movie, right? But with Tom Cruise, I'm down for that.
So am I.
His next movie is probably going to be Mission Impossible, whatever.
Cinco.
And then finally, we almost had a Simpsons movie sequel. Mm. Here's what happened. The first episode of 2015, the Simpsons family gets whisked away to Rigel 7, where Krang and Konos are from, the green aliens. Homer's almost eaten a meal during this episode. Apparently, producer Al Jean revealed that this storyline was considered as a sequel to the movie. And basically, they had this idea, and they're like, this could be a movie. It'll be fun to have them in outer space and, really blow up this idea. But then they're like, you know what? We could just do this as an episode. You don't have to put in the time and the resources to make this a whole movie. So it just became the first episode of the new season. And then they said they wanted to say how they're open to the idea of doing a new Simpsons film. They really don't have any ideas for one, and they're not going
to
push it.
Well, exactly, and it would have to be its own little standalone story, like the last one,
right? And all the ideas that they come up with, it's always it's good for an episode.
Yeah.
But it's not good enough for movies. I would like to see another Simpsons movie.
Me too. I think the first one was great.
I really enjoyed it.
Just a really long episode, that's all.
It was pretty much a really long episode, but still with more detail in the animation.
And more intrigue and more plot shadow. And more everything.
Yeah, I mean, I, I, I would definitely see another one. I would openly greet another one. But then again, I'm very open with my my Simpsons love. So
yes, you are.
So take that for what you will. So anyway, there you go. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much, Drew.
You're not welcome. Screw you.
All right. Well, fair enough. Thank you guys for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. It's time for us to get out of here. We'll be back next week with episode 107 of the show. And we also got a bonus episode to do. What are we going to do this week? Some sort of bonus episode.
Something.
We'll figure that out soon. So, all right. Here we go. We are out of here, guys. So, peace out.